ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 एंड टुडे वी विल बी सीइंग ए ओवरव्यू ऑफ चैप्टर 30। चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द गोपीज सर्च फॉर कृष्णा। Text 1, which we should be, we'll be chanting. Shri Shuka Uvacha Antarhite Bhagavati Antarhite Bhagavati Sahasaiva Vrajangana Sahasaiva Vrajangana अतप्यांस्तम चक्षाणा अतप्यंस्तम चक्षाणा अतप्यंस्तम चक्षाणा करिण्य इव यूथपम करिण्य इव यूथपम। श्रीशुक उवाच अन्तर्हिते भगवति सहसैव व्रजाङ्गना अतप्यंस्तमचक्षाणा करिण्य इव यूथपम्। श्रीशुक उवाच अन्तर्हिते भगवति सहसैव व्रजाङ्गना अतप्यंस्तमचक्षाणा करिण्य इव यूथपम्। अन्तर्हिते भगवति सहसैव व्रजाङ्गना अतप्यंस्तमचक्षाणा करिण्य इव यूथपम्। श्रीशुक उवाच अन्तर्हिते भगवति सहसैव व्रजाङ्गना अतप्यंस्तामचक्षाणा करिण्य इव यूथपम्। श्रीशुक उवाच अन्तर्हिते भगवति सहसैव व्रजाङ्गना अतप्यंस्तमचक्षाणा करिण्य इव यूथपम्। माताजी the word for word meaning is as follows. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Shukadeva Goswami said, Antarhite, when he disappeared, Bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sahasa eva, quite suddenly, vrajangana, the young ladies of Vraj, atapyam, felt great remorse, tam, him, achakshana, not seeing, karinya, female elephants, eva, just as, yutapam, their male leader. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, when Lord Krishna disappeared so suddenly, the gopis felt great sorrow at losing sight of him, like a group of female elephants who have lost their mate. Vandeyam Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadatisva Padantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So this is the second chapter of this special 5-chapter selection of the Bhagavatam, popularly known as Rasa Pancha Adhyayi. Rasa Pancha Adhyayi. Rasa is the dance and Pancha is 5. Adhyaya is a chapter. Chapter 29 is entitled Krishna and the Gopis Meet for the Rasa Dance. Krishna calls them by playing his flute. And in the dead of night, in the autumn season, these gopis, they forsake everything. They are young girls, married. Some of them are not married. Some of the married ones have babies. But still they come. In chapter 30, whose summary we shall discuss now, the chapter is entitled The Gopis Search for Krishna. They have come to meet Krishna and now they have to search for Krishna. So it is implied that they have lost Krishna's sight. somewhere in between. And the kind of emotions which are described here, the kind of things which happen in the forest, they happen to be the crest jewel of emotional exchange. When we say emotions, we also imply that the body also undergoes changes. How much an individual can undergo a change depends upon the intensity of the emotion. Doesn't it happen in India that some film star dies and a fan immolates himself? This person sets his body on fire. Now normally, even if due to some negligence you have a burning matchstick held in your two fingers, and as you can see, the heat comes closer and closer, at one point of time you can't bear it. You have to drop it. If the body is so sensitive, how can that person actually put himself on fire? During America's war with Vietnam, one Buddhist monk, he sat in the middle of a street and set himself on fire as a mark of protest. And everybody was amazed. He had this cool, composed look on his face. His body was burning. One Mughal conqueror, he came to Rajasthan and he was enamored by the beauty of the princesses there. And when the king was defeated, some 200 young princesses of Rajasthan, of that particular area, they jumped into a pyre. Huge fire was built in the palace courtyard. This is called Johar or Johar. So when he came, all he saw was a pile of ashes. And he wondered, I would have given them royal patronage, dress, ornaments, everything. What's the big deal? They are living with one man, they can live with me. So he was not cultured enough to understand that there is a different kind of understanding about living a good kind of life. So for various reasons, some as base, as unrefined, crass, as dying because your favorite cinema hero has died, or very noble ones, like dying to protect your honor. It is emotions which rule our behavior. If we are hurt emotionally, we can be in the midst of luxury, but we could be miserable. So according to the Vaishnava understanding of Vedic literature, emotions are not denied even in the spiritual realm. How can one deny? Ashwattham enam suvirudamulam. Lord Krishna hints at understanding spiritual existence and material existence by giving the example of a tree which is reflected in water. He says this material world is the reflection and the real tree is above it. And a reflection for a layman is almost 100% 180 degree down representation. So what is highest in the real object is also there in the reflection, but it is seen as the lowest. What is lowest in the reflection is seen as the highest, just vice versa. So we'll begin our understanding of what exactly happens. Sunday we understood how Krishna called the gopis in Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad's poetic language. Krishna stole the heart, the emotions, the attention of the gopis. And just like somebody would run after a thief who has stolen his object, the gopis decided to bring back their attention. So they came back, they came to Krishna to reclaim their property. That, hey, you have our hearts with you, we want it back. So he answers this question, why the gopis had to run? They ran because they thought he has stolen our property and we need to reclaim it. And then Krishna suddenly changes his track, so to say, and tells them, go back. At that time they also are very bewildered. They look here and there. Prabhupada explained once that among females, if they are very disturbed and they can't express their feelings, they try to draw some lines on, if there is sand or earth, just some doodling, sometimes with your legs. You're just trying to distract yourself, but you can't. The main subject matter is too disturbing to hear. They cannot process the thought that we have to go back. And that was the time when Krishna suddenly disappeared. Today's words, the words are used. Sahasaiva. Sahasa means suddenly. And just like you are talking to somebody and suddenly that person just is not there, you feel very confused. So the gopis saw that Krishna is not there. They already have been heightened. I'll try to describe what happened and then we'll try to understand the meaning behind why it happened. So they become maddened. They started to search out for Krishna. An example is given from material nature, how female elephants feel separated from their youth, from their male leader, Yuthapam. That's how the gopis started to feel. And then Shukadeva Goswami started is describing, they started asking the trees, the banyan tree, Ashoka tree, the Naga tree, Champaka tree. Oh tree, have you seen Krishna? Now normally you don't talk with trees. You don't expect them to reply back. So this is indeed a state of heightened emotion. Very high. The gopis were thinking that Krishna is the best of all youth. He is the most handsome, which is a fact, youth. And therefore, we are very fortunate. And here it is described, the gopis felt a little bit of pride in them. Oh, we are with Krishna. How fortunate. And Krishna decided to respond to that pride. How did he respond? By just disappearing. So that time they understood that it is not good to be proud. Coming at our level, is it good to be feeling proud that we are devotees of Krishna? Oh, we have joined ISKCON, we are under Prabhupada's shelter. There is no black and white answer to that. A lecture I was hearing yesterday, Prabhupada says, you can feel proud that I am serving such a worthy master. Have you noticed if there are chauffeurs or personal attendants, executive assistants of really big shots, really famous people, powerful people, when they walk, they have that thing in them. The presidential guard, he also, his glance speaks volumes. I am no ordinary security guard. I am the elite. Although I am a chauffeur, I am the presidential chauffeur. Although I am an assistant, I am assistant to Mr. So and so. So this is natural. We served so many worthless masters. Vifale sevinu kripana durjana. That now we have Guru, the most beloved of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kintu prabhorya priya eva. So that small allowance is made. But there is a dangerous thing with pride. Like although some pride may be justified, there is still something dangerous about it. And the danger is, you think you are better than other devotees. Once it was described, that it's a fact, you could be a better speaker, better dancer, better cook, better designer, better garland maker, better pujari, better organizer, better in shastra. But better devotee? Many times we keep these two together. Because I sing well, I am also a better devotee. Because I donate more, so therefore my devotional caliber also is more. It could be and it could not be. But the safest thing for us in Kali Yuga is, I am worthless. I am nothing. It is I think few classes ago somebody was mentioning that when we read the bhajans of our acharyas, we say them calling themselves, I am nothing, I am weak, I need help. Or Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes to the extreme extent of calling himself such a sinner. Amara jivan sada pape rata, nahi ka punyera lesh. I don't have any pious credit with me. So the answer is, they are being humble when they say like that. And they tell us to repeat the very same words. And when we do, we are being honest. We are not humble if we say, oh Prabhu, I am nothing. That's a fact. I didn't do anything. I am not even capable of taking care of myself. I don't know why I came to bhakti. That's a fact. Something extraordinary took place and you have been given this chance. So we have to remember that they are being humble. They are not like that, but they feel like that. While when we do the same thing, we are being honest, because that's a fact. They continued. The gopis then started asking, Tulasi. They said, at least the Tulasi shrub, Tulasi Devi will speak truth. She's always close to Krishna. The Ashoka banyan trees are not saying anything. Even Tulasi Devi is not saying anything. They started to ask Malati, Mallika, Jasmine, all these kinds of plants. Mango, jackfruit. So many different kinds of trees are mentioned which are prominent in Vrindavan. And then the gopis, they say no one is telling anything. They look at Bhumi Devi, the earth, Mother Earth, and they say, dear mother, you are jubilant. Why? When somebody is jubilant, all the hairs stand on end. So they describe that the earthly planet, the hairs on the body of the earthly planet are the trees. So all these trees, very pious trees, Punya Druma, Bhagavatam once calls them. They are like hair standing on end. You are feeling very happy. Tell us, where is Krishna? Did he go this way? Did he go that way? Even the earth is not responding. They see some deer. They say, you deer are so happy. Especially when they saw some female deer, the gopis started comparing themselves. Oh, you are with your husbands, with your lovers, with your consorts. We are not so lucky. But could you please tell us which way Krishna went? Finally, searching for so long and not getting any clue about where Krishna is, they became fatigued. So fatigue as a bodily condition is also there in the spiritual world. As I said, first let us narrate what's happened in this chapter, then we can see why it happens like that. So in a fatigued condition, when they sat down, like some of them sat down, imagine a whole group of gopis converging in a small area. One gopi started saying, I am Trinavarta. I am going to carry Krishna. One gopi is saying, I am Bakasur. Another gopi is saying, I am going to kill you. They had remembered these leelas. They were discussing these leelas day in, day out. Right from the first demon who was killed by Krishna, Putana, Baka, Trinavarta, Vatsasur, right up to Govardhan Hill, the gopis in their immersion, this is called the immersion technique, they started calling themselves as, I am Krishna. Now this is very strange. Normally we don't have this kind of even discussion that, like in a class, can somebody say, can I become God? I mean, we would look upon him as so materially infected. You want to become God? But here, in a very different way, in a very proper way, if you can understand it that way, the gopis started imagining about Krishna. So this is one stage where the mind becomes so immersed, you feel you have become like that. Not in totality, not trying to control, but because of smaranam, because of chintanam, because of thinking and remembering. Then they actually saw Krishna's imprints of his lotus foot on Mother Earth. So they could say, oh, now we know this is the path he took. Our acharyas, they pause their narration and they describe there are 19 different kinds of symbols, lakshan, on Krishna's lotus feet, 19 on Radharani's lotus feet. And there is a whole description of what they all stand for. Somebody may ask, if you walk on sand, your imprints are seen. Then a wave comes and it is gone. But how can somebody may walk on soil, on clay, and these imprints are seen? It is because Mother Earth took special care to see that these are not obliterated. They don't vanish. They stay there. Then the gopis started talking among themselves. Look, these are Krishna's footprints. And side by side, there are the footprints of another gopi. Who must be she? That she is so special that Krishna took her away? Then they come at a special place, where they see that one set of footprints is no longer visible. So they say, oh. And the other set is like more deeply, it's like more prominently seen. Yes, 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 we know what must have happened. She must have told Krishna, I am tired. Can you please carry me? And Krishna, on the pretext of carrying her, must have picked her and let her down here. And Krishna must have vanished, because then we don't see Krishna's footprints anymore. That special gopi, the acharyas point out, is Srimati Radharani. And then this chapter concludes with they all sit there, try to find out where Krishna could be. They try to pray, beseech, and especially in the Krishna book, Prabhupada concludes his chapter by saying, they all sat there and chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When the first time I read this, I was thinking, why would gopis chant Hare Krishna? Isn't it? We feel chanting Hare Krishna is like a homework for us. We are the novices, neophytes, and it's like school work. We know that school will enable me to deal with matters in this material world. I can be a better man, I can be successful, whatever. But in order to get that, I need to do my homework. So you don't love the homework, you love what it gives you later. But no. In Mahaprabhu's movement, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Radha Bhava Suviltam. It is Krishna and Radha who have become one. Krishna is the person, Radha is the bhav. So when Krishna takes the mood of Srimati Radharani, that mood is so powerful, it changes his bodily complexion. From Shyam, dark like a rain cloud, he becomes Gaur, effulgent like molten gold. Both are beautiful, of course. And in that mood, what does Krishna do? He only chants Hare Krishna. He relishes that. He teaches us, apani achari prabhu jivera shikhai. He himself chanted that and he taught others. So right from the novice, the first time you heard Hare Krishna or someone gave you a set of beats and said, chant Hare Krishna, up to the level of Radharani, everyone has the same Maha Mantra. It's amazing, isn't it? Please try to find out. Many of you must have come from different backgrounds, must have experimented with different processes. Maybe Jnana Yoga, Hatha Yoga, this institution, that institution. Almost everywhere you have something for the beginners, something higher for the intermediates, and something very rare for the really top elite. Even in asanas, there are some asanas which only the leader can perform. Martial arts, like somebody is a 10th degree Dan, whatever they call them. He can do something. He can pile on 16 bricks and break them. So that's his prerogative. He knows some moves which others don't know. Every art, every skill, when there is a differentiation between the beginning and the final stages, I just told myself, just take it to be material. If it is really spiritual, it has to have the potency of reaching down to the lowest level, capable of taking you to the highest level. That's why it is spiritual. So from one point of view, we may say, when does the stage come that I don't need to chant Hare Krishna? Well, if you have thoughts like that, you need to chant for a very long time. Unless this thought goes away. So much for the discussion. I know this is a rush kind of a job, 40 verses or more, and to conclude them in 20 minutes, and especially when the subject matter is so elevated, two things happen, and they happened in ISKCON. One is, since we are ISKCON devotees and we are followers of Radharani, and then we go to Vrindavan, and then we have so much access to other things, so let us try to always remain in the Gopi Bhav. What's so wrong with that? So thus began one GBC called Gopi Bhava Club of a few enthusiasts who would only discuss Gopis' Leelas. Why? Because they are the highest. This is also a material kind of a motivation, that when you see something and you only want to go to the topmost thing, whether you have an adhikar or not, you don't really worry about that. So Prabhupada found out and he said, I'm really worried. This could be the doom of our institution. We could be destroyed. So devotees are asking him, why, what's the problem in hearing Gopi Leela? He said, just like there are genuine transcendentalists, the other end of the spectrum within that particular function are the sahajiyas. Sahajiya, the word sahajiya means taking everything very cheaply. So that danger is there. So these devotees were dealt with very, very sternly. And then there was a meeting with the editorial staff of Bhakti Gaudiya magazine, and especially Satsarup Maharaj and others were asking, so what kind of preaching should we do through your magazine? And Prabhupada gave a formula. He said, we should understand there are four different kinds of people. If you take a top-down approach, the topmost are the Paramahamsas. Paramahamsa. Hamsa has the ability to differentiate between milk and water and only take milk. So even while in this material world, they can only take the essence, while all the time they are relishing pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And Prabhupada quotes Brahma Samhita. Santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. These santas, They are not ordinary santa, ordinary sadhus. In their heart, they always see Krishna Lila going on. Lesser than them, the third stage, are those who are liberated. Their material miseries are over, but they haven't really entered Leela. So they are also on the path of progress. So the fourth and third categories are practically, Prabhupada said, they are not our BTG customers. Don't try to teach them any philosophy. They don't need it. Number two are those who have been beaten up so badly, mauled by Maya. They have scratches all over their personality. And they are saying, I don't think we can be happy in this material world. But what am I supposed to do? So they are facing towards sense gratification, their body, and their glance is towards spirituality. That means somebody is walking like this, and somebody is saying, hey, and he just looks. So he is going towards Indriya Tripti, but he is now looking at something, maybe I should go there. So there are some who then turn and take a direction turn and they go there. And the first, they don't even know they are in Maya. They are so much engrossed. Maya mugdha jivir nahi sata Krishna gyan. They don't feel they have any connection. They don't even remember. They are completely engulfed. So Prabhupada said the first two are our customers. We should write articles. We should preach to these first two only. The three and four category don't need our understanding. So Satsuru Maharaj said, so should we mention gopis there in our articles? And Prabhupada said, oh! So now gopis are boycotted? Like just because we should not be speaking about gopis, do you mean to say that we should boycott them? Prabhupada said, they are our worshipable leaders. They are our authorities. So this we should pause for a moment. How come simple village cowherd girls have become our authorities? I mean, if you are in an academy and then the authority is just some village girl who takes cow dung, makes cow dung cakes, milks cows, churns butter, and we say, she's supposed to teach me? This is a perennial issue. Ramya kachid upasana vrajavadhu vargena va kalpita. This is Mahaprabhu's certificate. The best kind of upasana, the best kind of meditation on Krishna is the one as practiced by the gopis. That's why they are so important. And like I said, finally we'll try to see the hardware behind this software. Software is what you see on the screen, how it works, but then the things which actually make it happen. I think Sunday Radha Gopinath Prabhu brought up this point. Why Krishna engages in this Leela? One. First canto, first chapter, first verse. Just imagine how Prabhupada, he would always say these books are written by Krishna. So if we, of course we know he also toiled like anything, but how carefully he has given everything, and the very reason, now we are discussing 10, 10:30, and I was trying to understand what could be the reason. It's there in 1:1:1. Why Krishna enacts these confidential pastimes and why are they recorded for you and me to hear? This is a very interesting point. Prabhupada writes in that purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad, we especially quotes him, he is the authority on Adi Ras. Adi, original, primeval. And Prabhupada translates that as pure sex psychology. I mean, the first time I read this, I really blushed. I said, Bhagavatam is talking of these things? Okay, right now, the word is flaunted so many ways all around. But not just because it is Kali Yuga and sex is prominent. Prabhupada writes there, in this material world, the only thing that is prominent is sex. There is nothing beyond it. He said, in Mayapur, we were digging for a foundation for our building. And we saw a snake. And then came another. There were a pair. So say, if you dig 20 feet underground, still you have people doing the same thing. Once he told the hippies, you gave up national pride. You are no longer considering yourself American or this or that. You gave up bodily beauty, long hair till your waist. No bathing for almost weeks and months. You gave up careers. You gave up fancy cars. You gave up all the kinds of things which America was going to offer. But you could not give up sex life. When you are so much interested in renunciation, why not give this one thing up? In fact, it was just the opposite. The more you try to renounce this world, it hits you back with more force. In one internet discussion, nowadays, if you can point and click, you are a philosopher. So there are almost 2.5 billion internet users all over the world. So there are as many philosophers, you can safely assume that. So there is somebody, and then the internet gives you the chance to hide under aliases. It's not like when you say, who said that? Speak up. No, you can take any name. So this comment was, life has no purpose. No meaning. There is no destination. So, enjoy. So I said, wait a minute. Right now you are taking such a deep philosophical understanding of no meaning, no purpose. How come suddenly enjoy comes in? Enjoy means there has to be a purpose. You have to enjoy something. So Prabhupada writes there, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad's deep analysis. That impersonalism, by trying to emphasize the impersonal nature of this world, the impersonal nature of the absolute truth, that Krishna also, God also is ultimate sense impersonal. Impersonal means no personal activities. There is a direct impetus given for mundane sexuality. Now, Shingi, how these two connect with each other? So Krishna's Ras Leela is actually the antidote for mundane sexuality. Sex is not condemned. In the Gita, Krishna says himself, dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi. I am that conjugal life which is not against religious principles. So there is this verse, the Bhagavatam. Vikriditam vrajavadubhiridam cha Vishnu. Vikriditam vrajavadubhir. The kind of pastimes which Krishna enacted with the gopis. Shraddhanvito anushrunuyad athavarna yedya. Anyone who faithfully hears them or speaks about them. Bhaktim param, you get parabhakti, you get a supreme devotion. pratilabhya kamam ridrogam. Kama, mundane lust, that heart's disease. This is the what the gopis are experiencing is not a heart's disease. It is their hearts have blossomed in joy. While you and me can experience the heart disease only. Ridrogam ashu apihinoti. Krishna's sex life can cure our sexual madness. That's the purpose behind it. Achirena dhira. And it can cause us to become sober. So along with other things, whatever Krishna does is for the param kalyan, the ultimate welfare of human society. But especially by giving us the exact loving affairs of himself and his loving devotees, as it happens there, Krishna enacted it here. It is carefully recorded by Vyasadev, Shukdev Goswami. Now we have the six Goswamis. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada. So this is the proper way to understand it. It has its specific purpose to rid us of our material disease. And at the same time, it's also supremely relishable. So, we don't need to jump into it, thinking it is just how to call it. It is just natural for me to do it. And at the same time, we don't need to be dry, thinking that, oh, that is one thing which we need to avoid. Prabhupada has given it to us very carefully. And we need to understand, address our issues in our heart. Like there is a difference between, like this word which comes in this verse, Shraddha. A Brahmana's function is to have Astikya. I think there is Astik Samaj in Bombay. What does Astik mean? Asti. He exists. So this is the first stage. You just have faith that God exists. Shraddha. This word means I put my heart there. There's a big difference. And therefore, as such, the world today is Gnostic. People are convinced there is no God. So at least those who are saying, yeah, there could be a God or better than them. But the real relishing starts when you are taught how to put your heart into something. So Shraddhanvito is, even reading the literature given by Prabhupada, we do that again and again. This has the potency to give us Shraddha. Basically in the beginning all you need is little faith. Prabhupada says little faith. And that puts you on the road to progress. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Rashi Bhagavat Mahapurana ki.